This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Murder Homes is a production of iHeart Podcasts.
People are like, oh, these people were murdered. And then I was like, that's Chip's parents. When I found out that it was Chip's brother with Meredith Moon, I was like, that is absolutely crazy.
2 days before Thanksgiving, the pleasant suburb of Rock Hill, South Carolina, had the quiet feel of a neighborhood firmly preparing for the holiday. Neighbors had swept leaves off roof gutters, raked dead leaves off trim lawns, and hung festive fall wreaths on their doors. As the sun crept up behind some maple trees and slanted through the picture window of 2506 Westminster Drive, a red brick ranch home set just off the quiet street, a 22-year-old man named Jimmy Robertson was standing in the basement of the home next to his girlfriend Meredith, listening very carefully to the sounds upstairs. It was 5 in the morning, and he listened to an alarm clock go off. It was the kind of house where you could hear everything, and you could imagine the couple upstairs slowly rising, rubbing their eyes, drawing a curtain back. He heard the sound of heavy footsteps in the hallway. A toilet flushed, and then a shower was turned on. He quickly tapped out another line of Ritalin from a vial, tightened a dollar bill, and snorted it off a chipped coffee table. His pupils dilated to dime size. He pulled 2 athletic socks over his hands, so wired that he could see his t-shirt twitching over his heart. He took one last look at the den he was in, filled with the kind of games some doting parents buy for their sons. A foosball table, a ping pong table, old board games stacked in a corner under a flat screen. A tattered VHS library of action movies. "My whole fucking body's shaking," he told Meredith. She was too tense to say a word. She was just as high as him. Jimmy had gone over the plan 100 times, but Meredith had never thought he was really serious. With 36 hours awake now and 12 hours of snorting Ritalin with Meredith, his teeth locked tight and his heart pumping, nothing on earth was going to change his mind now. Jimmy had even called his younger brother at 3 a.m. when he felt he was turning into a nervous wreck. It always felt good to hear his reassuring voice. The brilliant and calm Chip always knew exactly what to do. "Jimmy," Meredith said, as if she were trying to shake him awake from some terrible dream. He picked up a knife and walked up the carpeted stairs. This is Murder Homes. I'm Matt Marinovich. As Jimmy walked down the first floor hallway with a knife, he noticed the closed bathroom door and could hear the shower. He knew he only had a few minutes. He opened the door to the master bedroom and saw a middle-aged woman still lying in bed. When she heard his footsteps, she raised her arm slightly and began to turn toward him, eyes slowly opening. He closed the distance before she could even scream, cutting her throat so viciously that blood leapt on the bedsheets. He could hear her rasping for breath as he stabbed her again and again until the knife blade broke off. Straddling her, he tried to catch his breath. He walked over to the bedside table and carefully took the phone off the hook, then hurried back to the basement to get another weapon. Meredith stared up at him in shock as he passed her and grabbed a claw hammer and a baseball bat from a duffel bag. "One down," Jimmy said. "One to go." Earl Robertson was drying himself off, running the towel over his thinning hair as he ran through a mental checklist of all the things he'd have to get done before Thanksgiving. He thought he heard a noise downstairs and figured it was his son Jimmy, up early. Earl was fed up with the kid, tired of bailing him out. He was a fuck-up, a disappointment. Kicked out of Earl's alma mater, Georgia Tech, for poor grades and drug use. The complete opposite of his younger brother Chip, who seemed to succeed at everything he did. Earl had been the proudest dad on Westminster Drive when Chip had been accepted to the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. Recently, Earl and Terry had drawn the line. They were cutting Jimmy off financially. He wasn't getting a dollar until he got his act together. It was going to be tough love, Rock Hill style. Refusing to write him another rent check, they had recently helped him pack up his stuff and move back into his old bedroom at home. As Earl wiped the condensation off the mirror and prepared to shave, he saw the knob of the bathroom door turning. When the door swung open, Jimmy was standing there. Before his naked father could react, he squirted Tylex in his eyes, and as his father winced in pain, Jimmy sank the claw hammer deep into his skull again and again until he collapsed to the ground. Then he grabbed the baseball bat and swung it viciously again and again until the walls were covered with his father's blood and brain tissue. Meredith could hear it all. An autopsy will later find that Earl had been bludgeoned a total of 200 times. All this happened while Meredith Moon sat trembling in the den downstairs, listening to the thumps and thuds and cries for help as her boyfriend murdered his parents upstairs. The sickening noises had finally stopped, replaced by an ominous buzzing silence that seemed to flow through the house like some kind of malignant electrical current. When Jimmy reappeared in the sitting room, his shirt was covered with blood. He took a seat next to her, trying to catch his breath, his hands trembling from the Ritalin. He told her to get him a knife from the kitchen drawer. As Meredith walked toward the kitchen, she could hear the rasping breaths and knew that one of his parents was still alive. She'd never be able to erase the sound of that breathing as she walked into the bright kitchen and found a knife. She walked back down to the den and handed it to Jimmy, who ascended the stairs a second time and then made sure Terry and Earl were dead. Before Jimmy and Meredith walked out of the house, he punched in a window to make it look like a break-in. One of a series of amateur moves he'd make after the killing was done. Because he broke the glass from the inside, detectives would easily be able to figure out that the murderer had ineptly attempted to stage the scene. Then they climbed into his red Mazda Protege and began the 9-hour journey to his younger brother's home near the University of Pennsylvania. They took turns driving, and Meredith Moon, who had just witnessed her boyfriend slaughtering his two parents, listened to him talk endlessly, his eyes darting back and forth as they flew up Interstate 81. He couldn't stop talking about his younger brother Chip and how impressed he was going to be when he told him the news. A $2.2 million inheritance was at stake, and now there was nothing standing in between the money and the two brothers. They'd both discussed Earl's dream of spending all the money on a golf course. Parents get to a certain age and they get wily, scratch you out of the will on a whim. You could sit there and take it like a chump or do a little risk management. Meredith nodded her head as Jimmy motor-mouthed on the highway, noticing the dried flakes of blood on his hand as he gripped the steering wheel. They refilled the car at gas stations along the way, using his father's credit card. Unknown to Jimmy, police were already tracking him. At a gas station outside West Philadelphia, he called his own home, wanting to be reassured that the phone was off the hook and no one had discovered the bloodbath. But it rang, and he immediately hung up, realizing that someone was in the house. A concerned neighbor, maybe, or a swarm of cops, detectives dusting the walls for evidence. His heart felt like it was pumping 1,000 times a minute, and all he could do was ask a petrified Meredith Moon for reassurance that everything was still going according to plan. because this was the one time in his life that fucking up was very much not an option. But his younger brother, Chip, wasn't answering his calls either now, as if he'd changed his mind. Jimmy began to feel like he was being cut loose once again and drove faster. They never made it out of Philly. At 41st Street, they were pulled over by cops who had been tracking the credit card purchases and had a description of the vehicle. Jimmy and Meredith were taken into custody. We'll be back after a short break. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Springtime's a great time of year, but that warm weather also means more people walking up and down my block, sometimes very late. I feel a little bit more reassured knowing my home is on the alert for me 24/7. Not to mention little perks like the water sensor that tell me if a pipe is springing a leak, especially if I'm not home. Trusted by experts, SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security Systems for 2024 by U.S. News & World Report, and Newsweek awarded it Best Customer Service in Home Security. Get 20% off any SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/homes. That's simplisafe.com/homes. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We're back with Murder Homes. Tommy Pope is the man who ended up prosecuting Jimmy Robertson. The first question I had for him is whether the 36-hour Ritalin bender could, in any way, be blamed for the horrific murders.
It may have ultimately, and this is a broad brush I'm painting with now, but it may have finally given him the courage to do the thing that he had discussed and told people and thought about and talked about. Obviously, this was a knife and bat assault, not a gun, but to finally pull the trigger, to finally make the jump. And so I think he was there, you know, psychology-wise, he was there. He planned well, because what he did was he waited till Dad was in the shower. And he goes in and kills Mom, who's still asleep, because Dad had to get up early and go to work. So Dad's in the shower, so he's not going to hear any of this. And as best I recall, I think he broke one of the knives off in Terry when he was doing that. So now Mom's dead. So now he can hear, you know, the shower. And that's when he's waiting outside the shower and sprays Dad in the face with Tylenol. And then, you know, beats him down with the bat. And he even said in his statement that he felt like his dad just wouldn't die. And he was considering going downstairs to get a drill to drill into him. You know, competent, knew what he was doing and chose to do it.
Chip Robertson was also called in for questioning and accosted by reporters outside the police station afterwards. He was in shock, he said. He said his parents were the best in the world. His mother, before she died, had even sent him a honey-baked ham to enjoy for Thanksgiving, since he wouldn't be able to make it home. I have no appetite for it now, he added sadly. But many questioned Chip's involvement. There was that phone call on the landline that Jimmy made a few hours before killing his parents. And Chip was always a smart one, so charming and unflappable. Most people in Rock Hill, who knew them both, believed that if anyone was going to be the mastermind, it would be Chip. Stephanie Hinson, whose voice you heard at the beginning of this podcast, was friendly with Meredith in school and knew both Jimmy and Chip. She says that most people in town who knew Chip and Jimmy believed that Chip helped plan the murder.
I remember when this happened, they didn't know where Jim and Meredith were until they caught them that weekend, and they were driving to Pennsylvania to Chip's. And I always thought that that was weird. Rock Hill was a much smaller town when this happened in 1996 or seven. And you knew people, and people were like, well, some people think that Chip made him do that. And I was like, well, that's even more weird. And I do remember after the funeral, they had some sort of party in the house, but they arrested Jim and Meredith quite quickly. So it was just Chip having this party in the house.
A number of things do point to Chip's involvement. First, there was the fact that Jimmy and Meredith were driving up to Chip's off-campus house right after the murders to establish an alibi. And as Stephanie pointed out, there was also the fact that Chip, who couldn't bear to eat his mother's post-mortem honey-baked ham, held a rager at 2506 Westminster Drive a few months after the murders. Wasted, he clicked on a blacklight UV flashlight to show everyone at the house party the remnants of all the blood spatters on the walls. I asked Tommy Pope, the prosecutor who put Jimmy on death row, if he thought Chip had something to do with the murders.
You know, even as a former prosecutor, I want to be careful with my words, because if we had had sufficient evidence to prosecute Chip, then we would have prosecuted Chip. I remember, and I think this was a statement either to the psychologist or that Jim made to Meredith, that Chip was going to be so proud of him. And so I don't remember the specifics now, but for whatever reason, the 3 o'clock call had the flavor for us of Chip goading Jim into finally doing what they'd always talked about. And the whole deal was they were going to jump in the car, go visit Chip. Jim left the fake note to say, Chip needs me. They tried to make it look like a break-in. I firmly think Chip's involved. And then, the irony, obviously, is that Chip ultimately gets inheritance, squanders it, gets the house. We heard reports of Chip having parties, drug parties, raves, whatever you want to call it, and with the black light.
With the black, I was going to ask, the black light, like illuminating the blood. Did you believe that, or is that sort of like more of a gossip?
I believe it. I believe it. I mean, I know we hear weird things in the world, but everything I saw, and again, I want to be fair, I didn't deal with Chip directly, but everything I saw indicates Chip is maybe more shrewd, smarter version of Jimmy, but has many of the same motivations.
There's little doubt that Jimmy and Chip Robertson grew up in a home where things were expected, accomplishments rewarded, bad behavior not taken lightly. But in court a year later, even the defense attorney for Jimmy Robertson failed to make headway when he tried to portray Earl as a control freak and Terry as suffering from mental breakdowns. The truth, which kept bubbling to the surface, was that the two boys had grown up in a privileged world. Their family was well-respected in the community, and they were sent to the best colleges. If Earl Robertson had ever laid a hand on his sons, it might have happened maybe once, twice. Mostly neighbors remember a father who used to play football with his sons in the yard, and a mother who jumped in her car with the boys and their friends to make last-minute trips to the video store. Both parents, by all accounts, had deeply loved their sons. And Earl had weathered Jimmy's self-destructive behavior for years, even bailing him out of gambling debts and paying rent for him in homes his roommates would inevitably kick him out of. As Tommy Pope points out, Jimmy always seemed to have two sides to him. He could be quite charming. The family pastor remembers Jimmy helping his wife with plant shrubs in his garden. "This is a kid we knew," he said. "He was in Sunday school, youth group. He was in scouting." Then he added, "Everybody that knew him well knew there were some issues. There were some rough edges, but no anticipation of anything like this." Stephanie Hinson agrees.
Chip and Jim were both really smart. They were always in the AP classes and graduated with honors. And Jim went to Georgia Tech and Chip went to Wharton School of Business. Jim was always, he seemed nice, but a lot of people thought that he was a bit strange. But just everybody's strange in high school and kind of awkward. But Chip was always really kind of charming and all the teachers really liked him. And Jim was taller, 6-something. And Chip, he was super clean cut.
In high school, Jimmy Robertson, tall and thin, was often picked on. His younger brother Chip never had to endure this kind of hazing. He fit in. He was popular. He excelled at school. He didn't fuck up. Which only set him apart from the son who seemed to take more and more pleasure in underperforming. At Georgia Tech, where Jimmy was studying engineering, his grades were sliding. In 2 years, he'd flunked out. He was high half the time, then all the time, hanging out with stoned losers. And then Earl Robertson let it be known that Jimmy wasn't getting another dime until he turned his life around. His frustration with Jimmy had turned to anger after his son broke into a neighbor's house, people they liked and were friendly with. Jimmy stole their car and credit cards. To make it worse, the neighbors thought they knew Jimmy. They'd watched him grow up, seen him catch passes on the front lawn with his father, mow the lawn, exchange pleasantries with them. He was almost timid. But it's always the kid who's a little nicer than the rest, isn't it? The one who seems to blend in and almost fade away. That's the one who's always crackling with resentment and keeping one eye on your happy home. We'll be back after a short break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We're back with Murder Homes. Earl and Terry made that long, painful walk to their neighbor's home to apologize for their son's break-in and wrongdoing. It was an act of contriteness the neighbors never forgot. Jimmy, meanwhile, spent a year in prison and emerged with an even bigger drug problem. Being a parent is a funny thing. No one really gives you credit for the executive decisions you make. The first time you ground a kid, the first time you draw a line, the first time you have to have a serious talk about drugs, or breaking into a neighbor's home. Earl and Terry Robertson, in some ways, could have been any parent on Westminster Drive. They had a problem, and you have to imagine, as they lay in bed at night and discuss their prodigal son, they felt they knew the best way to solve it. After all, Jimmy was a good kid at heart, wasn't he? What would you do? What would I do? Do you turn your back, or do you forgive everything and invite more abuse? If they had to make a dramatic point about not financing a drug habit, in the end, it was the only way they could truly show their love for him, especially before he really got into serious trouble. So they cut him off, decision made, pain for Jimmy in the short term and hopefully a better life for him in the end, a son they could finally be proud of, a happy ending on Westminster Drive. In the end, they might have thought he might even thank them for it. But fuck-ups get to decide when and where they stop fucking up. Maybe Jimmy felt that his parents' dream of him as a success was more sickening in the end. Sleep-deprived, synapses rattled with the half-life of assorted pills, at least he was determining in some small way what his path was in life. And a few days before Thanksgiving, he knew he couldn't sit at that table passing green bean casserole and listening to them talk about how great Chip was again. If their parents only knew that their golden boy was plotting against them too. Jimmy had a plan now, and the boldness of it excited him so much he could barely keep it to himself. Here's Tommy Pope again.
You know, Jimmy Robertson was, you know, upper middle class family. He and his brother grew up in a good home, you know, with a stay-at-home mom. She worked part-time, a working dad. Jim was an Eagle Scout. But there was some strangeness almost behind the scenes. Jim loved disappointing his parents, I mean, in almost malicious ways. I mean, Jim got into Georgia Tech, which is a tremendous engineering school, and flunked out. Now, he might have flunked out partly because he's partying and partly because he's lazy, but he claimed to his friends he took great joy in the disappointment that Earl particularly felt of him failing. It almost seemed to come to a boil that the more Jim chipped to, but Jim in particular screwed up, the more he screwed up, the more upset it made Earl, the more pleasure Jim seemed to take from being a goof or a disappointment.
But as much as Tommy Pope thinks he understands the family dynamic and this son who is perpetually prodigal, grateful for nothing, always scheming, he doesn't have any sympathy for Jimmy Robertson. He tore apart the testimony of the court-appointed psychiatrist, shot holes in the defense's assertion that Jimmy was too high on Ritalin to know what planet he was on and what he was doing, rebuffed any claims that Earl and Terry had cultivated this maniacal and dangerous little shit. Jimmy Robertson was found guilty in under 4 hours. In the penalty phase, friends and neighbors openly wished for the death sentence. The neighbor whose home was robbed said, "He just wants publicity." Another neighbor said, "If nobody gave him attention, he'd just shut up and die." And then it was Jimmy's turn before the judge. In his button-down shirt and khakis, hair freshly cut, face slightly pale, he looked as attentive as a freshman on the first day of a seminar, all politeness again as he addressed the judge. "I miss my parents," he said. "I must live with this every day of my life." His lips quivered and his voice broke. What happened that morning remains so vividly in my mind. "I'll never be able to explain. I'll never know why or how or anything," Robertson said, reading from handwritten notes and looking the jurors in the eyes. "I know that it happened, and I can't even explain to my attorneys what happened." Today, Jimmy Robertson sits on death row in Columbia, South Carolina. He's still screwing up, earning punishments for drug use in prison and other infractions. But the other side of him, the charming, polite, deferential side, is also there. This side of him, ever diminishing but not erased completely, that thinks, against all reason, he can still be liked. Tommy Pope, for a long time, received Christmas cards from the man he put on death row.
Yeah, he used to send, if I showed you the cards that he would send me, even post-conviction, it could come from a kid that grew up next door to you that, you know, called you Mr. Pope. But Jim's pretty slick now because he got... You probably got younger viewers, but the old Leave It to Beaver, Eddie Haskell, was always great, you know, to mom and dad, and then, you know, trying to get Wally the Beaver in trouble, you know, behind the scenes. Jim's kind of like that. So when I finally retired as solicitor, he sent me one final letter from death row that said something, you know, he had heard that I was retiring and that, you know, something to the effect that I was going to have to go out and get a real job finally or something. So, you know, we always had that, you know, kind of banter, but he's an interesting fella for sure.
And what of Meredith Moon? Even Tommy Pope has sympathy for her, as did the jurors, sentencing her to 20 years in prison. She was recently paroled.
I think what you saw is who she was. I mean, she was a young girl. She had, again, upper middle class guy paying her some attention, somebody to hang with, somebody to have fun with. I think really she got caught up in it. Jim's a great manipulator, but again, he likes an audience. You know, I mean, that was evident again from how much detail he went in with his psychologist that Miss Cassio that I cross-examined. He enjoyed recounting and he enjoys the limelight. And I think sometimes to do it, you have to have a witness. You have to have somebody with you. And truthfully, she was critical to the case from the standpoint of the evidence that we've recovered out of the dumpster on the interstate up in around Maryland. She was, you know, very helpful and very remorseful. I think she got swept along. And unfortunately, you know, for her, she went to jail and served her sentence and for Jimmy's actions, basically.
Stephanie Hinson has sympathy for Meredith as well, and points out that Meredith was at least 7 years younger than Jimmy, which may have contributed to her actions.
She was really sweet and quiet, and she was way younger than him by at least 7 years. That's a lot of difference between. So maybe she was just like, well, this is what I should do. Like, she wouldn't go do that by herself. She wouldn't have done it alone.
And the 5-bedroom, 3-bath red brick ranch with the red shutters to match, it just recently sold for a very steep discount of $217,000 in 2017. Jimmy is still waiting for an execution date. Since there's a scarcity of legal drugs for lethal injection in South Carolina, he will also be able to choose electrocution or firing squad. He's never apologized for the murder of his parents and isn't convinced that God is even on their side. Just being good, he says from death row, doesn't buy you a spot in heaven. This is Murder Homes. I'm Matt Marinovich. Murder Homes is created by and executive produced by Matt Marinovich. Executive producers are Jennifer Bassett and Taylor Chacoin. Story editor is Jennifer Bassett. Supervising producer is Carl Cadle. Producer is Evan Tyre. Sound design by Taylor Chacoin, Evan Tyre, and Carl Cadle. Special thanks to Ali Perry and Nikki Ator. Murder Homes is a production of iHeart Podcasts. For more shows from iHeart Podcasts, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.